Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from Orlando, Florida, a beautiful city of palm trees blowing in the wind, oranges, the sweetest ones you can find, sunshine that you just love to be in. And this is Pastor G.W. Cheever and Bishop Porter also. Praise God. We're here today thanking God for you, you, and you. And it's been a blessed day all day. You know it's blessed regardless of what the enemy tried to do to stop your progress. We thank God for you that are still with us. And we thank God for you taking out of your busy time to listen to us. We send our prayers to you, you, and you. We love you. Now there's a few people that we need to pray for. Continue to pray for. And if you can remember any of the names, you continue to pray for those also, okay, the ones you remember. We're praying for Bernadette, her continual recovery today. Father, we send the word to her, Lord, that she will continue to recover from heart surgery, open heart surgery, in the name of Jesus. Derek Wilson, we continue praying for his recovery from a kidney transplant. In the name of Jesus, we send the healing virtue that you will continue to be made whole in Jesus' name. Janine, we send our prayers to you today that had a knee replacement. In the name of Jesus, be made every whit whole right now in Jesus' name. Harry Rose, we send our prayers to Harry Rose today in the mighty name of Jesus that he will be every whit made whole from his operation. There's many people that are being operated on today, and we want you, you, and you to continue to pray for them. We're also praying for Hayward Richardson in the hospital with pneumonia. God will make him whole. We pray for Pamela Harris, kidney failure. We're praying for her right now in the name of Jesus. God, we send the word to Pamela right now in Jesus' name that her kidneys would function properly in Jesus' name. We are praying for David Neverson that he will be saved, come to know the Lord as his personal Savior and Keeper. In Jesus' name. And we're praying for Nathaniel today in the name of Jesus that God will touch him. And we're also still praying for Alice Dyer that she will come out of the coma and someone will let us know her condition. We thank God he's able today. Just praise him. Praise him for Alice coming out of that coma. We praise God today for healing Tanya Friend. We're going to believe God for it today, that God will heal Tanya Friend of cancer. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus that she be made every whit whole in Jesus' name. We pray for Craig Clarkson Sr., who's incarcerated. We pray God will touch him there, bring him to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ in today, in Jesus' name. We thank God for it right now. We pray for Vernell Thompson today in the name of Jesus, who also has cancer. We're praying for her right now in Jesus' name. You be made whole. All those on kidney dialysis machine, we're praying for you today that God will touch and deliver you and bring you out. We want to see you made whole right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, yes, and we pray for everyone that has diabetes today. We're praying for those, especially all those that we know of. We are sending the word of God to you right now in the name of Jesus that you be made whole. Right now, in Jesus' name, you will feel the difference when you go for your next checkup. Feel the difference and call us and let us know that you do feel the difference. Tell us what God has done for you. Call us at 347-857-3925. 347-857-3925. And let us know what is going on with you, how God has blessed you. I know there's someone that God has blessed you. And I want to, before I go any further, yes, let me read you a little word today. I know you want to hear that little word. You look forward to it, don't you? Thank God for these little sayings. A house is made of walls and beams. A home is built with love and dreams. A house is made of walls and beams. A home is built with love and dreams. So govern yourselves accordingly, all right? God is blessing right now. I want to shout out to everyone. Happy Valentine's Day, Love Day. This is a love day. If you don't love all year, love today. That's what they're trying to tell you. But I say love always. Just as Christ loved us in our mess, when we wrong, when we right, Jesus love us, you know. And we should appreciate him today and send a special love to Christ today. Let him know how you are so grateful for him, for bringing you into the world, for allowing you, you know, his air to breathe. You should just shout out to God today. Lord, happy Valentine's Day to you, Jesus, for giving your life to me and for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, now you thought you're just going to tell your mama, your daddy, and everybody, husband, boyfriend, wife, girlfriend, whatever. You thought you was only going to talk to them today, right? I know. But it's time for you to appreciate Jesus. You know, we have stepped so much, and he let his mercy cover us that he don't take us out. And because we were talking today about when Abraham was conversing with God, and he was telling God that them your people, when y'all get all out of whack and out of seam, and you get the line and get the committing fornication and all this stuff, God should have just done wipe you out for your sin. Now, you remember when Noah, why didn't the Lord just wipe them all off, huh? They had come so wicked, he had to get rid of them, you see. And he was about to do it again there with Abraham. So Abraham had got tired, and God had got tired too. You see what I'm saying? And y'all thought God wasn't going to wear out, get tired of y'all mess sometime. When everybody starts to go in the way of sin. Now God said, let me get rid of them. You know, so we were talking about that this morning, about how Abraham said, God, them your people. Moses. I'm sorry, I say Abraham. Moses said, them your people. And what the... I fell out because they were switching them back and forth. You know, he said, no, them your people. So he asked him, he said, you done brought these people this long way. He said, let's kill them. He's going to kill them all. So Moses started pleading for them. You know, he had mercy on them. Say, Lord, you know, if you got 10, you got 15, 5. You know, he went down the line because, you know, God's going to wipe out everybody. Now, have you moved God to that, huh? He say he's long-suffering, okay? But he didn't tell you he didn't have no end to that suffering. suffering. And we were just cracking up how about that. Say, sometimes the preacher get tired. Hallelujah. Y'all don't want to believe it. But sometimes the preacher gets real tired when y'all just continue to fornicate and adultery and lie and cheat and steal and everything. You do everything you think you're big enough to be. You haughty and heady-minded and, oh, you just and disrespectful and all that stuff. And you get all that stuff, the preacher get really tired, you know, and say, God, these your people. And when we start saying these your people, God, that means you're up for who knows what, judgment or whatever God want to do to you. You're up for that next because you are not supposed to do those things. But yet and still, you do things. You do these things and thank God ain't looking. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, you promise God this and you promise God that. And you never keep your promise, but you want him to keep his. And spare you one more day. You see, I'm meddling today, aren't I? Just because this is Valentine. And don't take your loved ones for granted. Huh? See what I'm saying? Because you take God for granted and you want to take everybody else for granted too. You think they're supposed to love you when you knock them out. You slap them and all the spit on them and you do them any kind of way. And you think they're supposed to keep loving you. Well, let me tell you, a dog will bite you after a while. He may be your best friend, but you keep kicking him, he going to bite that foot. You hear what I'm saying? You remember, and you know a snake, you just can't trust him at all because he will not change from who he is. He's still that snake. You have make him your pet, and after a while, he's going to bite you, sting you with his venom, right? Yeah, you didn't think about that either, did you? All right. So don't take your loved one for granted, all right? Because somehow you're going to knock all the love out of them. Hallelujah. I had to laugh on that one myself. Praise God. Isn't that something? The abuser. He think you're supposed to still love him after he finished beating you and kicking you and knocking you down, knocking your teeth out and your eye and everything else. And you still say, baby, I love you. And he's still doing it. When does it end, huh? When does it end? Well, honey, it ends for me quick. You know, I'm going on a little higher. Yes, I am. Now, that wasn't what I wanted to talk about today, but it sounds good to me. Amen. Glory be to God. It certainly sounds good to me. But what I want to talk to you today is what? What does it cost you? What does serving God cost you? It may even cost you your loved ones. Do you not know that? It's going to cost you. You know what we fail to understand in this life is about sacrifice. Sacrifice. And we're going to relate your sacrifice to your dream today, your dream and the sacrifice of them. This is what we're going to talk about today. We are in Philippians, the New Testament, the 3rd chapter. I'll read a little bit for you today. I want you to hear this. He say, but I started the 7th verse, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. 8th verse say, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Oh, my God. If I stop there, it'd be worth it right there. Because if you could get that little bit, we're going to continue. But if you could get that little bit, think about it. Things were gained to me, those I counted loss. When I gained something, it was lost. I had to lose something to gain something. Hello now. See, when we lose anything, we could lose a member of our family. And we only go into a subconscious mind of crying and weeping and moaning the loss and holding it against God and everybody else that we lost something. But if you look at it on this side, you say, he say, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. When you be, well, God wants to take you to another level in him, the things that you hold on to the tightest, you're going to have to lose. Come on, help me here now. You see, he said in a verse, yea, doubtless, and I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. You see, you're going to have to lose something in order to gain something, huh? Because most of the time, if you look at the nature of man, man is always holding on to somebody. He's always worshiping somebody because they look on them as, oh, they have accomplished so much, and they're just, you know, oh, they're just so high. They're making more money. They're making so much of it, and they're being recognized, and we count all of this as success, you understand, but you never look behind the scene to see what they lost. Come on, somebody. So anything that you gain in Christ, you see these ministries that are up, as you call up, you see them with money and a jet plane and all these things, and oh, that's your dream life. You want to have all the comforts of life, but you did not bargain for the things that were lost. You might have had to lose your family. You might have to lose your home that you had, a car, your friends, and what have you, job. You had to lose something in order to gain. Did you hear me today? Everything has a downside and an upside. And your dreams, always there's downsides. There's always something before they accomplish. Many times we go through life and we think about the things that we have lost that might have been. We got a lot of might have beens in our life. We have regrets. Is that not right? Everybody have something they regret. I did not, I had a career in my mind, but somewhere down the line, I lost it. You know, when you start suffering, you begin to back up from your dream. When you get into the pit like Joseph did, you back up from your dream. Do you hear what I'm saying? And therefore, you start blaming people. You start being angry and cantankerous and everything because you're not where you thought you should be. But in order to accomplish that dream, for that dream to come to fruition, there is something that has to be lost. Now, Joseph lost his home, his father's mother, and everything, and his brother, and he lost all of them when he was thrown into the pit. He's now into another dimension of life of turmoil and hardness and pain and suffering, but yet and at all, he didn't lose the vision that he had. He kept with the vision. He kept with his same knowledge of God within his heart. So therefore, he had to do what? Go through these trials and tribulations, these and everything he lost for God. Do you hear what I'm saying? So what are you suffering for? And he said, as we continue to read, he said, and count and all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Can you do that? Huh? This is a hard task. It's a hard saying because many people are attached to their families. They're attached to their husband, wife, children. They attached to the dog. You see what I'm saying? And if the dog died, then they're going to blame somebody. They're going to blame God. Why you let my dog die? Then you have him stuffed and you sitting up there looking at him all the time. Well, God was trying to separate you from that which you worshiped. Do you understand? And he trying to turn your eyes toward him. Hello, now you hear what I'm saying. And yet we want to keep trying to hold on to things that we can see instead of holding on to the God that is invisible, yet he's visible in you. Come on now. He said, greater is he that is within you than he that's in the world. You understand that now. You have something great on the inside. When that vision come, that idea come, that dream come, you have something great there. But you're going to have to climb a high mountain to get to it. You're going to have to leave something behind. Do you hear what I'm saying now? Oh, help me out here now. But you're going to know that your dream is being put to a test. And then when you tell somebody about your dream, let me tell you, I learned this from experience. Don't tell anyone about your dream. A whole lot of people you don't need to tell about your dream. You need to keep it to yourself till it come to naught. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is what you need to do, some of these dreams, because there's always someone that don't like it, hates you for your dream. Now, it ain't even happened yet, but yet and still you have it, and you got haters in the bunch. You got haters in you who you thought were your friends, your family. They begin to hate you and plot against you and try to destroy you the same way they did Joseph. They're going to try to do it to you too because of your dream. Now, God gave you the dream. Come on, somebody. God gave you the dream, but he didn't tell you what it was going to cost you. Now, your dream could cost you dearly. Hello? You understand? It could cost you dearly. Yes, it can. It could cost you a life almost. But when God is in it, you're going to still live. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're going to still live when God in it. No matter how the devil plot and plan, God's going to bring you through if you hold on to the vision. You hold on to the dream. You hold on to what God has placed within your heart. But you cannot let it go. Do you hear me now? The bottom line is you cannot let it go. Now think about it. There's some people out there today, they had a dream of climbing, which is the highest mountain, Mount Everest or somebody. I don't know which one is the highest. But anyway, they had this dream and some had the opportunity. Now they had to leave people behind that didn't have that dream. They had to leave their family behind when they began to climb that mountain. Do you hear what I'm saying? So in order to accomplish your dream, you're going to have to leave some people behind. I know you say, I ain't going to leave nobody behind. Now, who's that singer or rapper, whatever he was? He tried to take all his friends with him, and then he ended up lost all his money and his house and everything. Well, you have to understand, when you make that journey, that you accomplish your dream, you cannot bring all them people with you. Hello, come on. I know you say, well, I'm going to keep humble. Well, humble or stupid, which one are you? You're going to have to leave somebody behind. You cannot take them all with you because you're only bringing the problem that you're trying to leave with you. You understand? You're bringing the trouble. Isn't that what happened? How come Lot was misplaced? Lot was in the wrong place because he wasn't supposed to be with who he was with. You see what I'm saying? He wanted to go too. You know, he wanted to be blessed. Well, he was already blessed because he was a relative. Do you see what I'm saying? But he wanted to be in the in crowd. You know how it is. A lot of you want to be in the in crowd. So you try to follow on. You try to be there. Attach yourself to them because they look like they are success and they going forth. But you know you got to leave something behind. You have to leave someone behind. Something going to have to be left. Your old way of life have to be left. You cannot. Now notice now, the celebrities really can't go to the places they used to go to. You understand? Because it's dangerous and all. And there are people going to try to push them to fights and make make them lose it. And, you know, I'm wondering when these athletes going to learn, too, that what they used to do, they can't do it no more. You see, I want to be with my friends. I want to go to the corner bar. You can't go to the corner bar. You got to find another bar somewhere. You see what I'm saying? Because you got to leave that behind. You'll have haters in the group. Do you hear me? And some of the church people, now you're learning something. Some of the churchmen that go up high in the ministry, and they are now a part of the White House and the Green House and the Blue House and everybody else's house. They'll become known all over. Now, they can't be coming down there with you now. You know what I'm saying? Where they used to be all the time. They just cannot do it because you're going to get really radical, crazy, and try to hurt them and steal from them and everything else. You see what I'm talking about? So if they choose not to come, don't get mad. You see what I'm saying? Because sometimes they have to leave you because you are so hateful. You don't want to change. Hello. Basically, you don't want to make the change. You know, you don't like no change. Nah, but we still climbing. We still climbing. But you want to carry that weight on your shoulder. Come on now. Yes, you do. You're carrying all kind of weight on your shoulder. Now, let me tell you, have you ever thought about when successful people climb, they let go of things and they start changing. They start changing in order to reach the highest level they want to go to. Is that right? They start changing, and then you get mad because they change. Well, you don't want to go with them. If they give you the opportunity to go and you do everything in the world but try to go with them, trying to tell you, and you don't want to go. Well, why should I stop climbing and going toward my dream if you don't want to go with me when I try? So I leave you behind. Hello, come on now, just leave behind. Now, do you know what it costs? What is required to reach your dream? Do you really know what it's going to cost you? Now, let me tell you. When you start on this journey, there's always a price to pay, and then you got to keep paying that price. As you go along, people are not going to understand why you are so adamant about where you're going and what you're doing. And now I found that in the ministry, you know, I found people to me that I look to that they look successful to me. They got a ministry with hundreds of people in their ministry, and oh, they got an awesome choir and praise team and everything. And I don't have a choir. Ain't no sense in me lying. I ain't got no choir. And I'm looking for a musician right now. Praise the Lord. But the fact is when I tell them my dream, they get mad. You understand? And I don't understand. Somebody, if you know something about it, you call me and let me know why they get mad, because I don't understand this. I don't have all those people you have. I don't have that great, awesome choir you got, but yet I'm functioning as though I already have it, because my dream is that one day I do. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not going to let you take my dream from me. Hello, somebody. God gave it to me, and I'm going to keep it until it happens. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I'm going to pay the price if I have to lose everybody I know in order to obtain that dream. Hello, somebody. Help me out here. Glory be to God. Now, I know you don't understand that, but that's the price you pay. The higher you want to go, the more you have to give up. You didn't know that, did you? How high do you want to go? How high do you want to go? Or you done achieve where you want to go and you done stop right there? Honey, there are higher heights and deeper depths in the Lord. There's always more. So you never reach the top. You ain't reached the top yet. You think you have, but you haven't, because you stopped paying the price when you got to one level. Yes, when you got them 200 people, you thought you were there. And you got 300 people, then you really thought you were there. But you're not there if you got 2,500 people. If you got 25,000 people, you're still not there. There are higher heights in the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? There's a word in the Lord that even those with 25,000 don't have that you may have, and you only got 100. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so who's at the top? My. Now you can answer that now. Who's at the top? 25,000 people in ministry, or you got somebody with 15 people in ministry, and they have reached the top in the word of God, the revelations of God, and the anointing of God. Hello, I thought I'd throw that in. Don't cost you nothing. Amen. So here we are, you see. Now, you know you're going to have to pay a high price. Paul paid a price for his position in Christ. He paid a price. Yes, he did. Honey, he had more enemies. I don't believe the church world that they can stand that many enemies like Paul had. You talk about, I want to be like Paul. I want to be like this one. Do you really want to be like Paul? I mean, everywhere Paul went, every city he went in, he had trouble. He had some people against him trying to kill him and everything. Could you survive that? For the revelation that he had, that God had given him, oh, my. Can you understand that it cost Paul something? Did you hear what I'm saying? And it's going to cost you something. Oh, have you counted the cost yet? Have you counted the cost yet? You want to be like T.D. Jakes. You want to be like Joyce Myers. You want to be like these people. But can you pay the penalty for what it cost them? Huh? Can you? It's going to cost you. Did you hear what I'm saying? It's going to cost you. That dream you got going to cost you. You can reach the dream now, but you got to keep going. You cannot stop when people come against you. You cannot stop when it looks like God is not answering your prayer. Let me tell you, I heard Bishop say, you get an answer, don't even, if it means you don't like the answer. You still get an answer. Hello, he may say no, it's still an answer. Hello, come on somebody, help me out here. So you going to stop because the answer is no? No, you keep going. You keep going because God has his own reason why the answer is no at that time. You may not be ready for it. Do you hear? Some of us not ready for our visions to be accomplished, to come to fulfillment. You're not ready for it to happen to you. It's like there's a lot of people around that trying to want to get married and they ain't ready. Hello? They ain't ready for no man or woman. You see what I'm saying? They ain't ready, but they want to get married. Why? Because they want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's all that is. And you ain't asked God, God, am I ready for marriage yet? Am I ready for the commitment and all that it curtails? Am I ready to be a cook, washer, bottle keeper and all that stuff? Am I ready for this stuff, Lord? But yet you talk about, oh, my dream is to have this fabulous wedding. You're in love with the idea of getting married. You're in love with that beautiful gown and all the trimmings. That's all you're in love with. Why don't you just go have a party and put on a dress? Then you fulfill that lust until you're ready to get married. Hello, somebody. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I know I'm going to make somebody mad. My God, but, you know, we do things without being ready. Now, I've been in your shoes. I know about that. I thought I was ready, but, you know, because of things that occurred in my childhood, I thought I was ready, so I got the first thing come along, and it was the worst thing I could have got. You see what I'm saying? And my dream still wasn't fulfilled. Do you get the picture here now? Slow down and start talking to God and see what God say about it. I told you. You know my little business say what? You need to do what? Before you do it. What did God say about it? Before you do it, what did God say about it? This is what we need to stop and think. A dream cannot come true as it should come true until you incur with God. You know, say, God, what do you say about this thing? What do you say about this man? What do you say about this thing that I'm supposed to do, I want to do? I want to make money, God. What do you say about this? Do you see what I'm saying? Let me tell you. Now, let me tell you. Without a vision, he say the people perish. So you must have a vision or you will perish. But with that vision, a task without a vision is drudgery. A vision without a task is just daydreaming. It's just daydreaming. But a task with a vision is the pathway to victory and achievement, success. This is what it's a path to. This is what you ought to be thinking about. What is it going to cost me for this dream? How am I going to suffer? Am I going to suffer? Am I going to suffer? Yeah, you're going to do some suffering. If you read this here scripture on, I'm going to go to the last one that I wanted to give you. He said, after he did all that, Paul did all that, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. You have something to attain here. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Where do you want to go in Christ today? That's the bottom line. Where do you want to go in Christ today? Do you have a dream? Do you have a vision? Have you been thinking on some, meditating on something? Where do you want to go? What do you want to attain in the body of Christ? Or you want everybody to look up to you and pat you on the back? Well, honey, let me tell you, the pat's a few. Ain't going to get no whole lot of pats on your back when you're trying to go where God wants you to go. There's no pats. Stop looking for somebody to pacify you. And you pity guy trying to throw a pity party all the time. Want everybody to have pity on you. Why would you want somebody to pity you? Don't you want to do God's work? And stop looking for that to soothe your flesh. This is all you're looking for, that fleshly mind that you have. You want someone to soothe that. Instead of that, think about, am I doing what God wants me to do? That is the bottom line of it all, so that you can be successful. If God don't give you but 25 people, get them to heaven, And don't worry about the one with the 25,000, because God loves you just as good. You hear what I'm saying? Because every one of those disciples didn't have a mega church. So stop you around there suffering and going through needlessly because you want something big. You know, big ain't better all the time. You hear what I'm saying? So be what God called you to be. Your dream will be fulfilled. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the word this morning. I tell you, God is still working. He's moving by his power and by his strength. I tell you, when you don't feel like you can make it, just let go of yourself and hold on to Jesus' hand. I tell you, he'll bring you through. He'll help you to make the journey that you have to take. We thank God for that word from Apostle Porter this morning. I tell you, it's something to think about, that it's going to cost you something when you make up in your mind to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to cost you something, and it's going to cost you to make, you know, you have something, you have to sit back and just make up in your mind what direction you're going to take. Make up in your mind, are you ready to really forget about those things which are behind you and press towards those things which are before you? Are you able to just let go of the surrounding? I know we talked about sometimes it's hard for people to get out the ghetto to even make the change, because they're so used to the little corner store around the corner. They're so used to their surrounding. They're so used to so many things. And sometimes God trying to take you out of the little hut into the palace. And it means that you have to make some changes. That means you have to let go some of your friends. It means you have to have a new mind. First of all, he got to work on you first. Before you even go any further, he has to change your mind. He got to change your precept, your way of thinking. You got to look beyond where you at in order for you to get where you got to go. And God, there's times that God will allow you to go through certain situations because he wants to bless you. He wants to take you away from your familiar
your kindred, your family, their hang up, their low down, the sin. And God wants to make a change in you. Just like Abraham, when God called him in Genesis, the 12th chapter, and he said that now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be called blessed. And he even said in verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And verse 4 is so important now. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. See, but Abraham followed the God instruction. God took him away from the familiar, because what? God wants to do something new in him, and God wants to do something new in you also. Something you got to just make up your mind that you're going to listen to the voice of the Lord. He trying to take you out of the pit to bring you into something brand new. He wants to change your surroundings. It's going to cost you something now, because sometimes you don't want to leave the ones that you're familiar with, your buddies, your friends, your family member. But in order for the change to come forth, in order for your family to be blessed, in order for you to make the difference, you have to make that task. You have to make up in your mind and go forward and make the change. Why? Because when you make the change and they look at you and see the difference in you, you can be the testimony that they needed. God knows what it takes to get to people. God knows what it takes to get to your uncle, your aunt, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. It may take you making that sacrifice. It's going to cost you to leave in them, to go out into someplace new where God is calling you to walk into. And when you do what God tells you, and God, and they're looking and seeing the change in you, when you decide in your mind to get out of sin, you know everyone is watching. When you make up in your mind that you're going to live right, everyone is watching. You know when you decide not to go to the bar anymore, everyone is watching, including the ones that you used to party with and drink with. They're all watching to see, is there a change in you? And God wanted us to make a change when he called us out of sin into salvation. He wants the change to be there. You got to be a change. You cannot walk the same way you used to walk. You cannot say the same thing they used to say. Why? Because you make up in your mind it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you to die to self. It's going to cost you to die to yourself and your what you want and what feels good to the flesh. Because sacrifices sometimes is not easy. It hurts. It makes you really think about, do I want to go this direction? Sometimes fear even comes in your way. But with God, he'll let you know fear is not of him, because fear is not of him today. And because fear is not of God, you have to walk up in faith, in boldness, and do what God called you to do. Abraham made up in his mind when God gave him the word in the book of Genesis and told him to leave his kindred, leave his country, and God told him to go forward. He never been to that place that God wanted him to go to. It was something new. It was something unfamiliar. And we at times, it's very scary. I don't care how much you save, there's uncertainty there. But you just have to go on the word of God, because he have never failed you yet. And Abraham did that. Abraham took his wife. And you know, Apostle was talking about Lot went too. Yeah, you know, sometimes God sends you in a certain direction and someone comes along with you. But that does not mean that God doesn't bless them. They get blessed because of association. But they cannot go the same way you go. They cannot go through the pain and the suffering that you need to go, because you have a different calling. You have a more
a destiny to fulfill. And sometimes they cannot walk the same way because it seems so complicated, so hard, and they may stop along the way. But even though they stop along the way like Lot did, are you going to give up? Are you going to just stop on the way? Are you going to just say, you know what? Oh, man, they came with me. But you know what? They decide to stop halfway down the journey. Are you going to continue and hold on to the dream? I hope you hold on to the dream because what you got to go through, what God wants you to go through. And even in the book of Genesis, it talks about Joseph. Joseph has a purpose. And when you read the word of God, it encourages you. There's a purpose. Everything that he went through, it had a purpose. God allowed his brothers to sell him. God allowed these situations to come in Joseph's life. Why? To steer him into his purpose, into his divine call. Because God knew there was a famine coming along. And there was a famine, and God knew that Joseph was going to be a great instrument to bless his brother. So you don't know your calling at times, how much of an influence, how much of an impact you will have on people. You don't know the calling that you have for the nation, your purpose that God called you into. And it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you being lonely, walking all alone. I remember a long time ago, the prophet came with a word and said, you got to walk the journey alone. And I tell you, when the prophet came and gave the word to one of the ministers in the midst, it was like, do you mean I'm going to be all by myself? But God letting you know sometimes that you're not going to have friends. You're not going to have family member around you. But God is letting you know he is right there with you. He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. And you have to hold on to the word of God. Because while you're walking on your journey towards your destiny, he's also working on you. There's things inside of you that he has to keep on chipping. There's things inside of you that needs to be put away. The things that you have walked into, the habits that you have in your life, it has to be broken. I tell you, it takes God to deliver you completely. It takes God to touch your mind and give you a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit to go forward even in him. I'm reminded when God told me years ago, my family, to leave Fort Lauderdale and to come up north. Why did God say that? Because he said the destruction is about to come, and God kept telling us to move up north. I tell you, it was a hard decision. Why? We had a house that needed to be sold. We had young children that were still in school, and you know now, when you try to move your family to walk to where God tell you to go, they don't want to leave their friends. Why? Because they were comfortable. They were about to be graduating from high school, and they wanted to graduate with their class. It wasn't an easy situation. We come up against resistance. Why? Because I want to stay in my school. I want to graduate with my friends. I want to stay right here. I don't know everyone that is around me. I don't know who is in Orlando. We've never been to Orlando before. So when God calls you to do something and you got to follow and do what God tells you, is a price to pay. We had to leave everyone behind. Everyone did not understand. If someone tell you, oh, they all understand and say, God bless you, my child, that's a lie from the pits of the hell, because you're going to have opposition even in that area. Why did they move? Why did they go there? Was it the right direction? But you got to know within your mind and within your heart that the direction that God tells you to go, it is the word of God. It is the right choice and the right direction. And I tell you that you have to know for yourself. It doesn't matter what the other man say. They weren't there when God tell you to make that journey up north. So make up in your mind when God call you and tell you it is time for a change. It is important that you make the choice. It is important you make the choice. Make up in your mind. Yes, it takes you getting a new job, but God is a God of provision. God made a way for Abraham. God made a home for Abraham. God gave him double and triple for his trouble. The thing, there's no loss in God. Never look at it like there is a loss in him. There is no loss in God. There is no loss in him. He always replaced things with better and better and better, no matter the trial or the test that you go through. So, yes, it takes you getting a new job. Yes, it takes you walking into a new home. Yes, it takes you going into a new environment. But God has a new thing for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to open doors for you. He wants to make you brand new. He wants you to walk into divine purpose. And divine purpose is obeying the word of the Lord, obeying the word that God has been giving you over and over and over. Abraham listened to what God was telling him and make the change. And it was not easy for Abraham. Abraham came against every obstacle you can think of, but he knew who his Redeemer is. He knew that God was in control of his life. It doesn't matter the trial, the test, or the haters, or whatever you come against in your life, but know that God is with you. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't matter what the weapon may be that comes in your life. It may be the spirit of poverty and lack, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. So get yourself ready. Make up in your mind. Think about it and get yourself ready to go for that race that God has called you into. For no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And come and just go forward in God. Pick yourself up. Turn yourself around and say, God, forgive me for my slothfulness. Forgive me for not listening to you. Forgive me for my disobedience, because you have been speaking to me and telling me it's time to make the change. It's time to go up north. It's time to go up east. It's time to go out west. Whatever the direction God has been telling you, it's time now for you to go forward and do what God called you to do, because Abraham did. And remember now, it's going to cost you something. When it comes to God, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you making a change. It's going to cost you cutting people loose. It's going to cost you. Remember that and be encouraged. Know that God is with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Bishop Porter.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for the word. Amen. Amen. Now you have heard. Amen. Are you are willing now? Amen. To give it all. Praise God. God. Amen. Paul, amen, he gave up everything, family, friendship, freedom, in order to know Christ and his resurrection power. Praise God. What about you today? Amen. We have that same access. Praise God. Ain't you glad, amen, that we serve a God, amen, that never changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's God, and he changed not. And he's blessing and moving right now by his spirit and destroying yokes right now on our behalf. We're going to pray now at this time. Amen. You have heard the word. Praise God. Now, whatever you need, God got it. And you have that dream. If he have promised you, amen, that promotion, amen, you're going to get it. Praise God. Whatever God say, he's able to perform it and bring it to pass. Praise God. He know your heart. He know all about you because he made you and I. Am I right? Amen. So we serve a supernatural God. He's able to do abundantly and above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that lies within us. Amen. Bless you today. God, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for what you have done for us on the cross of Calvary, how you suffered, bled, and died, oh God, and went down into the grave and come up with all power in your holy, righteous, and everlasting hand. And, Lord, we thank you, oh God, for the Holy Spirit that abiding, oh God, in us and through us, oh God, and for us today, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Now, Father, you know the needs of your people. Lord, some stand in the need of one thing and some stand in the need of another. Well, whatever the need, Lord, I thank you for meet each and every one of our needs today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the love, not only Valentine's Day, but all 365 days of the year. And we bless you and we glorify you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank God for that word today. My God, God is so good. God has blessed us and moved in a mighty way for us today. We want to give announcements right quick. Our time is moving. Friday night, every Friday night at 11 p.m., we want you to join us with the Wailing Wall. And the number is 567-314-9757. 567-314-9757. And the code is 3333. So give us a call at 11 p.m. every Friday night. Set your alarm clock. You don't want to miss that time. On February the 22nd and the 23rd, we have with us the prophetic edition is Apostle Jeffrey Jackson, Jr. of Revival Time Worship Center from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, will be at the City of Victory at 6316 Willow Street, Zellwood, Florida. 6316 Willow Street, Zellwood, Florida at 7 p.m. nightly. So come on out and be blessed. For your directions or whatever you may need to know, 407-247-7055, Pastor Sharon Bonds, and see how to get there. You got to be there for your blessing and experience of the lifetime will be going on there. You don't want to miss it, people. You don't want to miss it. And don't miss every Friday night. And this is Pastor D.W. Cheever Porter coming to you from Orlando, Florida, with time to talk about it. And believe me, we will talk about it. Now, I know you're not mad, you're happy, aren't you? Because God is blessing you right now. You're turning your life around. And I want to leave this word, the 15th verse, with you. It says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. But you're going to have to walk with God, huh? And go through right now as you go forth and go up. Now, you want to go up, keep it in your mind right now. Jesus is real, and he want to bless you. And I'm saying to you, you and you, be blessed. Be blessed. Right now, in Jesus' name, pray for me as I pray for you. Remember that Jesus loves you, and I love you too. I really, really do. So you, and you, have a blessed day. Until next time.
There was so much on my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. And I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. And he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
as I stop worrying,
worrying how the story ends,
when I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have. That's when things
start happening. I stopped looking at that thing.
When I let go,
I let go.
When I
let God,
let him have. There's so much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way. And oftentimes I struggle. From day to day, I have to realize that it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright. Yeah.
As
soon as I stop worrying
how the story is,
I can let go. let God, let go, let God, oh, let go, and let God, let go, and let God, my brother, let go, and let God, my sister, you can't handle it, let God.
That's Julianne coming.